B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with pet Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
All right, to your Celtics calls we go, because we were very guest-heavy in the Sports Hub Celtics show. Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Let's go to Ralph in Cranston, who wants to talk about Al Horford. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, guys. You know, first of all, the biggest blunder that the Celtics made was to let this dissension stop. They should have. The first guy who popped up, I don't remember if it was Brown or if it was Morris, whoever came up, they should have stopped that right away and said, look, no more of this. That's it. It's over. This is not how the Celtics do things. But going forward, you know, I agree with one of your guests that he said maybe you can go to Roseanne and Morris and say, look, let's all start anew. Because other than Al Horford, you can bring back almost the same club you had 2 years ago that almost went to the finals, and you've already got Marcus added. He was hurt then. You've got Haywood you can add to that. To me, this season could really be a shocker to people if they can shore up the center position. Now, if they go and grab that center, I don't know much about him. What is it? Vucevic?
Vucevic in Orlando, yeah.
And I don't know, you know, Gasper, what you think about DeAndre Jordan, because, you know, he's a tough guy on rebounds, something they didn't really have last year. I mean, he averaged 14 rebounds a game. Maybe find a role for him there. You know, I believe he's a free agent, too. And if you did that and showed up the center position, maybe you could go back to where you were with Tatum playing the way he did and Brown without all the nonsense, without anybody popping off, and without Kyrie just being Kyrie, which didn't work with this club. So I do not buy the doom and gloom. I just don't buy it. I think they're going to be pretty good next year.
Thanks, Ralph. So what do they do with the five, Chris?
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, you talk about DeAndre Jordan. I think you have Robert Williams who, you know.
I'd rather Robert Williams.
Yeah, I mean, just a lot cheaper, and I think he can approximate that stuff. I think Al's tougher to replace than people realize just because of Al's fit in that system and the trust that Brad has in him. There's not a ton of big guys out there who can
be a rim protector, run the offense.
Correct, and
hit
shoot
three. Yeah.
There you go. You nailed it.
Yeah, and so Vucevic, the bit I know about him, like, is only just from when Orlando was killing the Celtics last year, because he was pretty damn good, but defensively there's some deficiencies. But he can shoot the three.
He can shoot the three, yeah. His three-point shooting has gone up each of the last 2 years. He's, you know, he's shown more of an ability to do that. Last year he shot 36.4% from three.
Do you want Tim and Quincy, who says the Celtics are not as bad as you think, or Billy in the car, who says the Celtics are a disaster?
Let's go Celtics are a disaster.
Billy in the car. Hey, you're next here with Gasper Murray. Hello.
Hey, how's it going? Hey. Yeah, I mean, everything that could have gone wrong has gone wrong. We built something over the past 5 years, you know, 5 or 6 years ever since we traded Pearson Garnett, and it was a beautiful thing to watch, and seeing this team grow and change was so much fun. And then last year just destroyed everything that we built, and we are no closer to a title than we were 6 years ago. And I think that, you know, a lot of that is on the players, sure, but a lot of that is also on the coach. I mean, Brad did not know how to coach guys with an ego. And that's going back to his days in college. He has always had, you know, average players that he has gotten to overachieve. But then he finally got a team of talent and of, you know, borderline, you know, one superstar and borderline stars, and the team fell apart. And I don't know where we go from here, but the Celtics, this is an absolute nightmare.
All right, Billy. We built the Celtics. We built the Celtics with crap and poo. So is Danny Ainge, I mean, he's ultimately the architect of this thing. Is he kind of skating when it comes to blame? Should he have made moves, you know, moving Jaylen Brown, whether it was for Kawhi Leonard or moving Jaylen Brown so he could move up and select Luka Doncic? Like, I don't know. It does feel like when we're, you know, because it's all about Kyrie and the bad chemistry and Terry Rozier and the kids acting like a-holes. I don't know. Danny Ainge ultimately is the guy behind all this.
Yeah, he's the one who put the team together. I mean, certainly, again, hindsight's 20/20, but you can critique those moves, or non-moves, really, I should say. The other thing I'll say, and where I sort of put the most blame on Danny, is I just think he put Brad in a really tough spot. You know, it was just, here's this collection of talent, you turn it into a team, and there were not clear, defined roles. And I said this all year with this team. You can't have role players who won't accept their role. Like, that doesn't work. And that's what they had. They had guys in roles that they didn't want or were not suited for, like Terry Rozier. And I thought that really made it difficult for Brad to get the team to coalesce, and ultimately it never did.
Let's go to Tim and Quincy, who has the counterpoint. Celtics, not as bad as you think. Talking about the offseason. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, guys. We still have Brown and Tatum. So even if people are, like, freaking out, they're like, this year obviously it proved we weren't good enough to win a championship. So why would we want to continue with this team? Saying that, though, Brown and Tatum, and then you build around them. So what I'd want to do, I have two dream scenarios, and if these dream scenarios don't work out, then Celtics should just sign one-year deals and wait till next year for free agency. And the two dream scenarios are you trade Gordon Hayward and about four or five first-round picks for Bradley Beal and hope that the Wizards take it. If they don't take it, it is what it is. Second dream scenario, and this is even more of a Hail Mary, is if you sign Kawhi. If you sign Kawhi, you got your big three, you're set for the future. Besides that, all you do is just set one-year deals and sign a free agent next year.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Celtics are a little bit of a hoops holding pattern here in terms of, you know, let's see who the next guy who shakes loose is. Let's see who takes over the Wizards, Jim, and who's running that operation and what they want to do. The Wizards right now are adamant they're not going to move Bradley Beal. I understand that, but they don't really have anything around him. They don't have enough around him. And I think he has 2 years left on that deal. The timeline of them trying to improve their team doesn't really line up with being able to take advantage of Bradley Beal's prime. Look, if you have to move Jason Tatum to get Bradley Beal, that's not advantageous for the Celtics. So you need the price to come down. You need the Wizards to get realistic there. But maybe at some point that happens and you're able to make that deal. But I just don't see the automatic answer, quick fix sort of for the Celtics, where we end up feeling as good about their chances to win a championship going in this season as we did at this time last year.
Let's go to Rocco in the home of Sox Ice Cream in the Square One Mall. That would be Saugus. Hello, Rocco.
Oh, yeah, I'm in Saugus, baby. What's up? Actually, I got to go to East Somerville today to see a couple of my friends. But either way, listen, I made a call to you guys earlier this week talking about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. The comparison was Sprewell and Houston of the Knicks days. Chris, I'm asking that. Is that a fair comparison, or is Danny trying to do something like similar like the Splash Brothers in Golden State? And another, one more thing quick. Sorry, guys. If we're looking for a big man that can shoot three and spread the ball and can pass well, I know this player is not, like, you know, a favorite here, but he probably can come here for cheap. Boogie Cousins, man. All right, guys, have a great Saturday. Love you guys. Boogie.
Thanks, Rocco.
I don't know if Brad would want to deal with Boogie, but, I mean, it's a good point by Rocco, though. I mean, you know, coming off the injury and that season, you don't even hear him talked about as one of the premium free agents. He can do all the things that Al can do,
and I still like him in terms of the play, and I think he kind of gets a bad rap,
but they want to dip their I would just say the timing's not right coming off what happened last season to attempt that.
Yeah, if you're looking for a culture change, I don't think you want to bring in DeMarcus Cousins.
You're laughing, but that's a good point. I mean, from a purely basketball standpoint, I kind of like the way Rocco's thing. Sprewell in Houston, I mean, yeah, I think that's not really sort of fair. Allen Houston had a great career, though. I mean, people forget about him, and Sprewell did too. He's remembered obviously for choking out PJ Carlissimo, but you know, it's probably somewhere in between there and something else for the Celtics. I don't want to tab Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, the new age Houston and Sprewell.
So I want to touch on a couple of NHL related things when we come back, because last night was the draft. The first pick the Bruins had was number 30. They take this kid, John Beecher, who was, at least you read up on him, size and speed. Sounds like, you know, okay, you hope for the best, but you won't see him for a couple of years. He's committed to Michigan. But we'll talk about the draft and some of the stuff from last night. But today, a bombshell in the league is P.K. Subban has been traded to the New Jersey Devils. And you really look at this thing, it's kind of a salary dump. So you have the Leafs, the Lightning, the Predators, all making cap-clearing moves. And David Backus is still here. It's not a great start of the offseason for the Bruins, too. So we'll touch on some NHL-related stuff coming back after this here on Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
First of all, I'd like to thank the city of Vancouver, the Vancouver Canucks, for their hospitality. Shout out to Maple Ridge. I'm going to have a fellow British Columbian, Dean Malcock, select our pick.
Proud to select John Beecher.
And John Beecher goes number 30 overall to the Boston Bruins. You read up on his draft profile. Sounds to be the like he's the perfect mix of size and speed and a lot of upside. Then you look at some of the mock drafts, and he wasn't slated to go until the second round. So your typical Don Sweeney type pick, I guess. So the NHL draft is continuing today. We have it on here in the studio. Gaspar Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. And it really is. It's amazing to see how young these kids are. And I said that really the biggest takeaway for me last night in watching this, John Beecher gets interviewed. Catherine Tappan, NBC Sports, you know, they're covering this, as is the NHL Network. And she goes, "You grew up watching Jack Eichel." Like, I just, you know, I got to come to the realization. I'm just a gross old man now. Like, I, you know, I expect to hear, like, "You grew up watching Patrice Bergeron." Like, that's even acceptable to me, even though that still would make me feel old. "You grew up watching Wayne Gretzky, Pavel Bure, anyone, like, Jack Eichel, who's 22? Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. Even if you're, like, 26 years old, that's going to make you feel old. How do you think I feel? But these kids are so young, and every time we look up, Chris, they just, they're teens.
Oh, this Bobby Brink looked like he was 14 years old. Yeah. I mean, I thought I was watching a Proactive commercial, not the NHL draft.
Oh, it's a lot of, yeah, there's a lot of Proactive going on, and a lot of these kids, like, "Well, the first thing I plan on doing with my contract is investing in Clearasil to make sure I can clear this up so I can get more ladies." What else, Bobby Brink? "I should probably stop playing Fortnite and factor in my playing career." Like, they're all teens. And I said it earlier, Chris, the other thing, too, at the risk of sounding like a creep, you know, see all the hugs and kisses when they get drafted, and you can't tell the difference between the sister, the girlfriend, and the mom. It's they true. All, they're it's, all hot, and they all look the same.
It is very true. You're right about that.
All busty and blood. "Thanks, Mom. Thanks, sis. Thanks, Darla, my girlfriend." "I don't know which is which, but congratulations to us. Yay." Like, it's amazing. So, yeah, this kid that the Bruins draft last night, he's committed to play at Michigan, so it's probably be a couple of years before you see him. And more importantly, though, the big news in the NHL today, P.K. Subban has a new home.
Oh, you're done? I wanted more pucks in puberty.
it's the new specialty show during the hockey season, pucks in puberty. Here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, I'll talk about the trials and tribulations of trying to make it as a young teen in the NHL. And trying to put down the controller from playing Fortnite. And how I have to use my hockey stick to bat off all the women that are chasing me now. Even though I can't drink yet legally. Anti-Tuamisto, I'm the new pick. I also have to invest in Clearasil. Now, P.K. Subban has a new home, traded from the Nashville Predators to the New Jersey Devils. And the Predators don't have to eat any of the money. And this is, it's truly just, you read up on this, it just seems like a straight salary dump, really, more than anything else for Nashville. Like, that's surprising to me.
No, so again, I'm not Mr. Hockey, as you guys all know, but I do love drafts. So I watched the NHL draft last night, and they were talking about this. And what, you know, Bob McKenzie and those guys were talking about is that the Predators have their eye on a forward, you know, allegedly.
Patrick Marleau.
Yeah, the you know, they want somebody out there, whether it's Matt Duchene or somebody like that, and they have to move the salary of P.K. Subban. But the big takeaway for me is seeing Patrick Marleau moved by Toronto in a salary dump, and now P.K. Subban moved by Nashville, is that if you're willing to attach some picks to this, you can move some money. So if you're Don Sweeney here, you got to look at David Backes and the 2 years left on his deal at 6.6. And I would even say, you know, David Krejci's still the highest paid guy on your team. Like, if you could move on from him.
They got to.
The getting is good. This is, it's salary dumping season out in Vancouver. Make a move. Clear some room.
And the Subban thing to me, you know, look, I know what devolved between him and Montreal, and nobody is bigger than the team in Montreal. So that was part of the problem there. And when he poured all that money into that children's hospital, he never, like, thanked the team, and those a-holes got their backs up about it. So I understand that. But that to me, I don't know. I love him. I always loved him, even when he was looked at as a pest by, you know, angry Bruins fans and whatnot. And he could do that, but that's one of the better attributes. Hey, you love it with Brad Marchand, right? But he's such a complete player in a lot of ways that, I don't know, I get it with the Canadiens, but, like, for me, that's a guy that should have retired a Canadien, you know? Like, and here he is now on his third team going into next season, the Devils. It's just, I don't know, that one strikes me as odd because he's just one of those foundational pieces, I feel like.
Again, you wonder, is there something there where, I mean, because when I watch it, you know, he's phenomenal to watch, but those offensive highlights, do they come sometimes at the expense of being reliable as a defensive defenseman?
Yeah.
And is there something from a personality, like, you know, hockey, just hockey culture, is there something about sort of P.K. Subban's embrace of the limelight that rubs teams the wrong way? in hockey culture. I'm not saying that's right. In fact, I think it's wrong. But I'm just wondering if there's something. I mean, he was dating Lindsey Vonn. Remember this year, you know, I remember doing Patriots pregame with Beadle. We saw him on the sideline at a Patriots game. You know, we're in this big, like, sort of fedora, and he's on the sideline with Lindsey Vonn, just sort of chilling. And it's one of those things with his need to be a star. Does that rub teams the wrong way?
No, it's stupid. The league needs more of that. You should help try to promote your sport a little bit more. You need guys that I think are a little more flashy.
Remember he did the reality series or something this year he did? So maybe that rubs people the wrong way. And his salary was, you know, pretty high, and the Preds are they're pretty solid on the blue line. So I think, again, if you're Don Sweeney here, like, to swing it back to the Bruins a little bit, don't you look at what Nashville's doing and say, okay, this is something we can do. Like, they're redistributing their spending and their assets, saying, like, we're solid on the back line here, but we need more help with the forward, so we're going to move a guy. Isn't that sort of the Torrey Krug thing?
Yeah, so that was going to be my next question. Should they explore trying to trade Torrey Krug? I think he's their best asset in terms of a tradable piece this offseason, and he's kind of, I would think he's a guy that would, you know, a team that's a true contender that looks like, you know, say someone like, you know, maybe San Jose, or hell, even maybe, well, no, the Blues are set at the blue line, but still, some of the ones who improve their power play, right? Like a true contending team.
Sure.
That's who you want to try to shop him to, as long as you can get, and I don't want a return of picks. I want a return of a player that can immediately be plugged into that second line.
Yeah. Krug would not be a salary dump, to be clear, even though that's happening, but you could move him.
Yeah, and I think that they should explore that, because I want to see them be better in 5-on-5. It obviously bit them in the ass the deeper that they got into the playoffs, and it certainly did in the final. So, I don't know. I'd like to think, in theory, that maybe you can hand that quarterbacking of the power play over to someone like Matt Grizzlick. You have other young defensemen like Vaakanainen coming up. So, I don't know. He just feels like a luxury piece right now. So, he should be shopped to try to improve this team.
Yeah, I'm just sort of curious, like, how bold Sweeney and Neely are willing to be at this point with their team. Because it's easy to sort of look at it and say, they've been great the last 2 years. They had, you know, second most points in the NHL this year. You go to Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Final, you're obviously doing a lot of things right. So it's easy to sort of stand pat. Or do you look at it and say, you know what, to really sort of get over the hump here, and everything broke our way in terms of the way the bracket fell in the postseason, let's not be fooled by that. You know, we're a piece or two away. We need to sort of redistribute and become deeper.
617-779-0985. You want to join the show and discuss anything that we've talked about so far? Celtics, their offseason. Anything in regard to Kyrie Irving, Al Horford, the Celtics draft. Any of these NHL news, P.K. Subban being traded, the Bruins offseason, the draft last night, any of that, 617-779-0985. Or you'd like to maybe mock these young teens that we're doing here in studio, and we'll continue to do during Sarge's Sports Hub headlines. They'll get caught up with the latest. Here it's Gasper and Murray on the Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The part of the thing was Kyrie Irving didn't like Boston. I've been told this by many people. He didn't like living in Boston. He just didn't. You know, by the end, he had issues with Brad. By the end, he had issues with Danny. By the end, he had issues with pretty much all of us, right?
Jackie McMullen, ESPN, again on the, what was that, the Hardcore Hoops Podcast? Is that what they call that thing?
I think it's the Hoops Collective.
The Hoops Collective Podcast, talking about Kyrie Irving and how he straight up hated it here. Didn't get along with Danny, didn't get along with Brad, and he really didn't like living in Boston either. So off he goes, likely to the Brooklyn Nets. Although it seems like the team might have got cold feet on him, at least according to reports, and whether or not you buy it's a different story. But that would be sweet karmic justice. Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. If a team is desperate for relevancy and a superstar like the Brooklyn Nets, now looks at Kyrie Irving and says, yeah, unless you can bring the big fish and Kevin Durant, I think we might be all set because you're a giant a-hole. Do you buy that, though, that they would actually shy away from him because of how mercurial he's been since he's come into the league?
Yeah, I mean, I do to a degree. You know, I think you want him to be sort of part of a package deal there. But part of it could also be, look, you know the guys can be a pain. We all know that. But do they feel like by just adding him they have enough? I mean, we talked about this a little bit yesterday on Felger and Maz. In some way, are they using Kyrie as like a gateway, you know, to get to Kevin Durant? Is Kyrie basically like the wingman for them to approach, you know, a hotter person in Kevin Durant? Is that what's going on here?
Maybe. I mean, and I wouldn't blame them either, because there is obviously a lot of trouble that comes with Kyrie Irving, or at least a big pain in the ass and a big risk in terms of him coming in and, I don't know, infecting the locker room with negativity or nonsense. Did you hear the other thing from It was Doug Gottlieb filling in on FS1 this week for Colin Cowherd, and he spun a tale that he had heard, probably directly from Brad Stevens, and that there was a random meeting that he walked into. They're getting ready for the night's game or whatever, and there's Brad at the whiteboard. And he says, good morning. Brad Stevens says, good morning to Kyrie Irving. And all Kyrie Irving says to Brad Stevens is, what does government mean to you? Oh, God. Can you imagine dealing with someone like that? Like someone that thinks that they're the smartest person in the room. And someone that asks you a question like that, Chris, I think you've been around enough a-holes in your life. You know that they're not asking because they want to hear what you have to say.
They want to tell you their answer.
They want to tell you their theory. So poor Brad has to sit there and go, I don't know, Kyrie. What does it mean to you? And his answer was, control. Man, you know, I'm editorializing the man part, but he said control. So can you understand
Kyrie the anarchist, huh?
Why, and what that is a not-so-subtle jab at Brad Stevens, too. You know what, you know, he had issues with him.
Good point.
The way I look at it as, it's like, okay, so you can't control me with your game plan, man. You're the government. And so that's where I can understand why guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, while they needed to check themselves, and their egos might have got out of control a little bit because of the playoff run in 17-18, can you completely understand, though, where those guys would look at him and be like, oh, God, Jesus, this guy's just the worst. Why?
Insufferable.
Yeah.
You would sort of be like, oh, man, this is insufferable. Like, the Celtics are trying to salvage their season, and Kyrie's giving a civics lesson.
Oh, God. Yeah, and I said it yesterday, too. Like, you can, one of the great things for me in being a sports fan and doing this for a living is, like, I think you can learn from sports, and there's a life lesson. There's life lessons you can get as sports fans. You know, we learned about disappointment, unfortunately, with Game 7 of the Bruins. The expectations were so high. We're getting to learn about disappointment again with the Boston Celtics, and I think you should now learn from the Boston Celtics that you should, you know, not freak out and just trust this process that's going to be going forward with the Celtics. They can build here. It's about being patient. Have a little patience. That's all. And with this Celtics team this year, Kyrie Irving, in this situation, you need to learn not to act like that ever in the workplace. No one wants to deal with anyone like that. No one. No one wants to hear your long-winded thoughts on politics, your big ideas of what government is. Anything like, just don't do that. Just be a normal person in the workplace. Don't be Kyrie Irving. That's all. Life lesson there. See?
I can't wait till the next break because I have some questions for you. Yeah, what? Some really deep philosophical questions.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. See, you get it, though. No, you get it. Like, just so many people in this world don't have zone. You know what I mean? Like, they'll ask intrusive questions about your personal life at work or stuff like that. Just put your head down and do your job and shut the F up. We're all just trying to get through the day. We're all just trying to get through life.
I bet you have some former coworkers who are like, oh, this is rich. Jim Murray giving advice in the workplace. The guy who stuck, like, you know, expired food in the ceiling.
No, I did that quietly. I never popped off in the workplace, and I never had things to say like, "Oh, you're going to hear from me." No, I would just silently see. That's okay as long as you just don't come back. Yeah, it's silently seething. Chris is okay as long as you don't come back and, like, you know, and shoot the place up. That's probably what people thought of me. Like, that guy's a kook, and we got to be worried about him. Like, no. I'm just going to put food in the drop ceiling.
But
that's
didn't
all.
You also work
bad.
At another place where you there was illicit use of a fax machine?
Oh, we're going way back. I don't want you to bring that up.
I'm just saying it's odd to take workplace advice. You've had some adventures in your
Chris,
day,
Jim,
in the workplace.
How old was I? I was 17 when I did that. I worked at a place that doesn't exist anymore called Funko Land. It became GameStop. And I was also collecting bills. I was a bill collector for Sears. I had two jobs at the same time, summer of 1994. In lieu of going to school, I was like, no, I'm going to work because F school. So I was a night manager at Funko Land in Saugus, and I was a bill collector at Sears in Salem, and I hated that job at Salem so much. Being a bill collector, I was the worst bill collector in the history of that job.
Yeah, this is why Sears is, like, going out of business now.
Well, I'm comfortable with the tactics that they would say. Like, and I was like an easy mark. If you got on the phone and you gave me some sob story, I'd be like, okay, all right, don't pay. Well, the whole time, like, the manager's listening to the call. By the way, like, they will occasionally plug in and listen to the underlings' calls, like mine, to make sure you're doing your job correctly, which I never was, because if you gave me a sad sob story, I would immediately tell you, like, well, that's okay. Well, hopefully the next time you can put in 15, but just don't pay. Like, it's okay. Your kid has cancer. I understand. And I would get reamed time and time again. Anyway, the point is, I didn't really know how fax machines worked. And I was bored one night, and I was, I helped hire a couple of my friends. So we're just sitting around, like, playing video games because it's a video game store. And we had smoked some weed out back. And I decided, you know, I hate that Sears job so much. And I had, like, a business card of my manager at Sears. I was like, why don't I send an angry fax to my manager? They'll never know who sent it. Well, unbeknownst to me, they actually have the receiving phone number at the header of the piece of paper that you send the fax to. And as it turns out, the people at Sears didn't like getting a bomb threat. It was a but it was a joking bomb threat, and I used names. And it, this, thankfully, this happened in 1994.
Yeah, I was going to say you'd be in jail.
And say not 2004 because I would be in Guantanamo.
Oh,
right
totally,
now.
Totally. Oh my God!
And that, my friends, is the story of how I lost two jobs at the same time. It was a different time. Again, I was stoned. I was bored. I was 17 years old. Like
talking like Bobby Brink.
That's acceptable in 19. Yeah, hey, I'm going to send this bomb threat to Sears. And I used like inside lingo and I used filthy words. Like, all bad. All bad. We can laugh about that now.
Yeah.
I'm just talking as an adult. When you have a career, don't act like Kyrie.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. You're right. What does government mean to you sending a bomb threat?
But it was a joking bomb threat. That.
Well, Kyrie might have said it was a joking inquiry on government.
Let's go to Steve and Bill Rickett with a Kyrie Irving thought. Hey, Steve.
Jim, it's all speculation with Kyrie. I mean, everyone's blowing it. I just think people are blowing it out of proportion. I mean, why would we get rid of our best player just because he asked a question about the government? I mean,
no one's getting rid of him. He's
making the choice
of his own free will.
Oh, no, I would leave, too, after what Thaco put him through.
I'm not doing this because I'll get the occasional tweet about this too to piss me off. Like it's our fault. It's our fault that Kyrie Irving's a PUD and has been this way since he's come into the league and he couldn't get along with LeBron James and then he acts like LeBron James to Jason Tatum. We make all this up. It's the same people. The Seth Wickersham story was fake. Like I can't. I'm not doing that. Jesus. Ed outside of Gillette. Did you get left over at the Luke Bryan show last night, Ed? What are you still doing outside of Gillette?
Actually, I volunteer here for my niece's dance competition team.
Oh, very so cool. Good for you.
I did Luke Bryan last night, and I'm here for Dead & Company.
Ah,
members of Grateful Dead,
right.
Along with John Mayer. And I wouldn't be surprised if Kyrie Irving shows up.
Yeah, well, I mean, he does fancy himself a bit of a hippie. I wouldn't be shocked if he was there.
But I do have one question. Carson Edwards and Trae Young, what are their comparisons?
Chris? I mean, I don't know if I can make the comp to...
To Trae Young.
Edwards a little undersized compared
to
Young.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely undersized. You know, Trae Young obviously was only there for 1 year at Oklahoma. Trae Young was a really transcendent college player. Towards the end of that year at Oklahoma, the team didn't play well, and neither did Trae Young, and I think people sort of caught on to him. But, you know, you're looking at Trae Young, he's probably the runner-up for Rookie of the Year. I think Trae Young is a better – this is my opinion. You know, I'm not an NBA scout. This is my opinion. I think Trae Young is a little bit better facilitator, a little bit better passer than Carson Edwards. I look at him more as sort of a scoring point guard, and I think Trae Young's probably a better shooter, although Carson Edwards can stroke it. I mean, he's a really good shooter.
Young came along in the last, like, 3 months.
He
of the
really
–
that Atlanta team is an interesting team down there with Collins.
Collins, yeah.
They add Cam Reddish to the mix now and DeAndre Hunter. As a quick aside, so I watched the NBA draft. You know, I was at the Celtics facility with – you know, all the Celtics writers like B-Rob and Chris Forsberg and the, you know, Globe guys. Well, actually, Himmelsbach was in Brooklyn, but, you know, Gary Washburn was there. And Chauncey Billups was doing all these comparisons, and he was like, you know, Darius Garland, Gilbert Arenas, and there are all these great comparisons. And DeAndre Hunter, do you know who the comparison was for him?
No, who?
Jay Crowder.
Oh.
It was like all these guys, it was like, this guy's comparison is like Charles Barkley. This guy's just like all-star after all-star. And DeAndre Hunter, he's like, yeah, Jay Crowder. I was like, man, like, what did DeAndre Hunter, like, piss in his Cheerios or something? Like, what the heck?
Let's go to Harvey in Northborough with another Celtics thought. Hey, Harvey.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, love your show. I would say two words for Kyrie. Bye, Felicia. And, you guys there?
Yeah, I heard you.
So, but I really wanted to just talk about Jason Tatum. Because I've gotten concerned hearing people like casually throw his name into the trade pool. I think that people don't realize just what a talent he is, and I'll give you a few anecdotes.
Well, actually, Harvey, because I'm up against a rule on that, I'm with you in that. I didn't want Tatum traded unless it was Anthony Davis and you had the assurance of a long-term deal. Like, that's it. It has to be for,
yeah.
like, a legit superstar.
Absolutely.
But
yeah,
if we're talking
how we
like,
all feel.
Yeah, but like, I don't know, Bradley Beal's name's been thrown around. Like something like that, like a lesser star. Like, no, I'm not going to do that.
I mean, here's the thing. I just feel like you need Beal and Tatum. Like that's sort of the way they're building now. So that's kind of a lateral move. But you know, look, I love Tatum too. And I agree with you. But let's be honest here. At this point, Tatum is still a projection. Like, I know after they made it to the Eastern Conference Final, I feel like there's a lot of you out there, like, had him on, like, the level of Paul Pierce. He might reach that level someday, but it's still a projection at this point. Let's not forget that. Like, this is the one thing about the Celtics and their fans sometimes that annoys me. Like, there's a real tendency to inflate and overrate. It's like, Al Jefferson's the new Kevin McHale. It's like, no, he never was Kevin McHale, and he was never going to be Kevin McHale. And thank God you traded him for Kevin Garnett.
Five questions for Chris Gasper that have nothing to do with sports. And these will be hard-hitting questions. Coming up next, here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I got five questions for Chris Gasper of the globe. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five. One, two, three, four.
I got five questions. I hope this segment ain't too wild.
All right, let's dive right in. Question number one, Chris Gasper, the Boston Globe. You leave Thursday for London to cover the pointless Red Sox-Yankee series across the pond, yeah? What is something about this trip you're genuinely excited about? Tourism, the latest in British fashion? Get some Ben Sherman gear? The cuisine, the poor dental hygiene? Is there anything you're legitimately pumped for this trip?
What am I legitimately pumped for? Just to see the... You know, sort of the layout of the stadium, I guess.
How the people cheer.
Oh, smashing. Wonderful. Yeah, it's always cool to sort of be immersed in another culture. I mean, what am I, you know, I've been to London a number of times, and there's not going to be a ton of downtime with this trip. So it's probably, if anything, I know this is kind of weak, but it's probably just like reading the London papers. Like, I love the tabloids and the way that they frame stuff. It's just fantastic.
Well, that's why we get along. Travel to read. I mean, that's basically what my vacations have become with a lady. Like, we're pumped to like go away. Like, what are you guys going to do? Read.
Read. Yeah, exactly.
Just sit around.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Question number two, Chris. That tanker that got bombed, the overpriced drone that got shot down, aggression by Iran that can't be tolerated, or Gulf of Tonkin 2 electric boogaloo.
Gulf of Tonkin 2 electric boogaloo.
Yeah, please. I mean, what a crock with this sinking of the Lusitania, USS Maddox, fake uranium purchases. It's the war playbook. We've seen it a million times. If you buy this at face value, you're an idiot. Oh, please. Oh, they bombed the tanker, did they? Ooh, we got to get them back because of the drone. Uh-huh. They just want war in Iran. Please. Question number three.
Where are the WMDs?
Oh, right. Ooh. Hey, do you have proof of it? Oh, no, we'll find it. Question number three. Can you change a tire?
I can change it.
Wow!
Not well, but I can't. I have had to do it once. I actually did it once. I put the the donut on.
I would actually pay good money for that video.
It was a slow,
those stained
arduous,
clothes. How mad were you about the
painful,
stained clothes?
No, it's just I don't remember. I just it was like a slow, arduous, painful process when I lived in Chelsea, home of some of. In Chelsea, they don't have potholes. At least when I lived there, they didn't. They don't have potholes. They have craters that like belong on the moon. It was like unbelievable. And I hit one. And it was actually, this was before the night of the Patriots playoff loss to the Denver Broncos, the Champ Bailey game.
Oh, in 05.
Yeah, I was coming back from something and was supposed to go right out to meet some friends at the bar. And I blew that tire and I had to change it.
Oh, God. Oh, that was a bad night overall. Yeah, as soft as these hands are, I can actually change a tire, believe it or not. My dad did teach me that with a lot of yelling. Question number four. Last night, Luke Bryan played Gillette Stadium. How much would it have cost to get Chris Gasper to go to something like that?
Oh, man. $100,000.
Yeah, I'm around the same price. There's over, like, I would not go to that, and I don't really know much about him other than the name, but I quickly just looked up and I Googled Luke Bryan songs. Listen to some of this crap. His hits, such as Kick the Dust Up, Drink a Beer, Hunting, Fishing, and Loving Every Day. With lyrics that go, if I could make a living walking in the woods, you bet I'd be sitting pretty good, high on a hill, looking at a field. Like, you gotta be kidding me with this. If I can make a nickel off turning them bass, no, never need to worry about the price of gas. Kudos to this idiot and the people that eat this stuff up, and they can pack that place. But you got to be kidding me with this. Oh, my God. $100,000. How about $500,000? You will never see me at a show like that.
I think he went to Georgia.
that he's shocker.
And he was in a frat. He was in a frat with like some other country singer. It might be Sam Hunt. I don't know. But it's like basically it's like frat boy country. That's what it is.
What are some of these other songs? We Rode in Trucks. Of course you did. Let's see the lyrics to We Rode in Trucks. Let's see. We raised cotton corn and a little Canaan kids. You either lived on a farm or you wish you did. Oh, Jesus. All right, question number five. The Encore Casino officially opens on Sunday, Chris Casper. You will welcome it with open arms and gamble like a fiend, or you'll barely go and just be mad about the traffic.
I'll barely go and just be mad about the traffic. I'll be old man shakes fist at cloud. That will be me out there. Like, why did you drop this thing that belongs in Vegas and Everett and wreck the traffic?
I'll tell you, so I got to
go. But I will take a free comp for anything if you're out there, Encore.
Of course, yes. And there's very fancy stores in there. I can already tell you that, too. I was lucky enough to be one of the people that got a sneak peek of it this week. Amazing facility. If you've been to the one in Vegas, it's pretty much just like it. But I'll tell you, it's jarring to go in and then walk outside and be like, what? I felt like I was in Vegas, but I'm still in Everett. And the traffic, they're not kidding. Do not drive. Take the T, find another way, take an Uber, because it took me a half hour just on the exit alone, and that was on Thursday, and they're not even officially open yet. But place is pretty sick. I think you'll enjoy it when it opens up tomorrow. Thanks to Mike Sarge-Riley on the Hub Headlines, Tucker Silver for producing the show, and always a pleasure, Chris. Safe travels to London. I hope it's
Thank
a smashing success and that you have a wonderful time. Enjoy the mushy peas and the what do they have all over there, too? The bangers and mash.
Yeah, bangers and mash. That's so disgusting.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us. Coming up next, it is Matt McCarthy, Ted Johnson. Hi, you were actually at that Luke Bryan show last night.
Boyfriend of the year, let me tell you that. Guys, I have never been more out of place in my life at that show. I've been.
Was it packed? It had to have been packed.
It was
so many people.
Somehow I feel like I might have been more out of place, Matt, but go ahead.
I would say so. The only thing I can compare going to a bro country concert to is going to a Buffalo Bills football game in Buffalo.
Oh, okay.
The animals who attend these things. You would not believe the things I saw last night that I cannot repeat on the radio.
Yeah, wow. It just feels like a sticky, sweaty affair with terrible music. Much like the Gathering of the Juggalos. Like that. You would have to pay me $1 million to go to that. And I would have to have like a my own place to stay in with air conditioning, no tent, no camping. Like that to me is pure hell. So, you sound refreshed though from after having to do that last night. What are you guys going to be talking about to start the show?
Open up with the Celtics. I think we'll also hit on Patriots, the Nick Caserio thing. I know Ted's got a lot of thoughts on that. His connections to Houston. Ooh. Sean Pendergast, Ted's old co-host in Houston's going to join us later on in the show. Want to get Ted's thoughts on Montreal, the Rays. I know he's got some thoughts on that as well. A lot of stuff coming up over the next 4 hours. I'll have a lot of fun.
All right. You want to get on with those guys? 617-779-0985. And a reminder, if you're out and about like on this nice, beautiful Saturday, you want to grab some suds, from 4 to 6 this afternoon, I'm going to be over at the Backlash Brewing Company. So if you want to come over there, join me. You can win some tickets to go see Alice in Chains. So hope to see you there. Otherwise, see you Monday at 2 at Felgren Mass. Bye.